And every one of you next Sunday night to make it out to Koinonia out at Sawmill Road. Jeremy was being ordained there through Anchor. We'll be there. But David went through his last interview just this past week in preparation for ordination and was approved. But we knew that his father, Danielle, is here, and we wanted him to be ordained before his father returned to Serbia. And so we arranged to do a double ordination service, and we're going to do it at Koinonia because it was already set out there. And so both Jeremy, who you know was here during I Am Second a year ago, and David is going to be ordained. It's going to be a great time. So do make plans to go next Sunday night, 6 o'clock, out at Koinonia. Now, in relationship to that, David's father is going to be speaking here in the church next Sunday morning. And so he'll be speaking in the first, second, and I believe the third services. So we're going to really work him next Sunday, and you'll get a flavor of what's happening in Serbia. Great move of God there, and you'll get a little sense of where David's coming from as his father ministers to us next Sunday. All right, we are continuing in our series, Honor. The power of honor. Well, really, it's the power of blessing and honor. We spent the first 4 weeks talking about blessing, how powerful it is to speak a blessing over someone's life. I hope and pray that you are doing that, that you're taking occasions to speak a blessing over your family. And very, very important. We saw last week that the unexpected reward of honor is blessing. And so really, as you honor people, blessing comes. It's like blessing or honor is the soil that blessing grows in. You may speak a blessing over someone. You speak it over a soul, a heart that is honoring. That blessing takes root and grows and brings more blessing. It's an amazing principle of honor. We've talked about it last week, and we are going to continue on today and just build on it. Now, we're probably not going to get through the entire outline. The reason I say that is because we didn't get through it in the first service. So we'll go as far as we can. We'll pick it up next time we're speaking and continue on. But this is life-changing principles. If we knew how powerful honor was, we would take this so much to heart. And so let's dig into it. And let's review a little bit first, the definition of honor. You can take your fill-in sheet, it's in the bulletin, take it out, fill in the blanks as we go this morning. And the title of this message is, Who Should We Honor? Well, the definition of honor is to treat with high regard and respect, to yield an opinion, judgment, and wishes. Now, that goes a little deeper, doesn't it? Honor is not just a good feeling. It's not just an intention. Well, yeah, I have a good feeling. I respect that person's position. But if you really are going to honor, it digs a little deeper where you yield in your opinion, your judgment, and your wishes. Now, this really gets down to where we live. And so we need to understand this principle because this is where we miss it. We have, I honor that person. But are we yielding to their opinions, their judgment, and their wishes? Important difference. Here's the definition of dishonor. To discredit by treating as ordinary and menial. Treating something as just ordinary and menial. We saw last week how they dishonored Jesus by just saying, well, he was just the carpenter. I mean, his brothers and sisters are. Who is he to think he should be telling us something? They dishonored him because of that. Now, we're going to answer the question of our title right off the top. Who should we honor? Here's your fill-in. We are to honor everyone. We are to honor everyone. It says to honor all people in 1 Peter 2:17. Just honor all people. Now, here's the difficulty. If honor is treating someone special, they're special. They're deserving of honor. They're not just ordinary. They're special. How do we honor everyone? The only way you can honor everyone is coming to a conclusion that everybody's special. Now, this is where we fall down. This is where it just not natural, because we would only honor some people. We'll honor the people we feel are special. In fact, it really comes down, I honor the people who treat me special. You treat me special, hey, I will honor you, because you're special. You're treating me special. But see, honor goes much further than that. Why would everyone be special? Because God created everyone. On that basis alone, God created everyone. That means we're special. God created everyone. God has a plan for everyone's life. He designed us in the womb. He knows all about us. God knows you in detail. That makes everyone special. Jesus died on the cross for everyone. That makes them special. So, when you meet someone, no matter who it is, you meet someone, you are spending some time with them, in your mind, you should feel so honored. I'm so privileged. Wow, I have this opportunity to spend time with this person who God created, has a plan for their life, knows everything about them, died for them. I get the opportunity to spend some time with them, to interact with them, to hear from them. That should produce an honor within us. But that won't come unless you have a godly perspective. If you just sort of treat it on an earthly perspective, well, that person's come, and that person's come, and there's another one, there's another one. There's a bunch of people on this bus. Here's a lot of people in my classroom, a lot of people I work with. Just they're all there. A few special because they treat me special. No, everyone's special. You're to honor all people. Now, really, that's the heart of honor. And when you can get that in your heart and not just in your head, when it drops to your heart, that you are honoring everyone in your heart, now you are positioning yourself for tremendous blessing. Because there is a blessing that comes back out of honor. So, here's your next fill-in. Three categories of people to honor, and it includes everyone. Here's your fill-in. We are to honor those over us, those beside us, and those under us. You are to honor the people over you, beside you, and under you. And each one brings a special blessing when you honor those three different categories. So let's start and look at this. Here's the first one that we're to honor. Number one, honor those who have authority over you. Honor those who have authority over you. Now, last week, we used the verses from Matthew 10, verses 40 to 42. I want to read those verses again, but I made a slight change. I've taken the word receives, and put in the word honor, because I believe that this doesn't distort the meaning at all, but also brings this truth out of how powerful it is to honor. So let me read it. Matthew 10, 40 to 42. Jesus is speaking. He who honors you honors me, and he who honors me honors him who sent me. He who honors a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who honors a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever honors one of these little ones, only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly, I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. So this is, in this portion, it's covering everyone. You're honoring those that are over you. You're receiving a prophet in the name of a prophet. You're recognizing the position, the authority that the person has. If you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you're going to receive a prophet's reward. Then it talks to those that are around us beside. If you honor a righteous man in the name of a righteous man, you're going to receive the reward that comes from honoring a righteous man. If you even find someone that they're so poor and they are starving and they need a cup of water, and you just give some of these that are the lowliest and you give them a cup of water, you honor them by giving them a cup of water, you will not lose your reward. if we could only see this, I mean, really see it, that by honoring people, you're positioning yourself to receive blessing back in return. We said it last week, but let me repeat it. If we honor those who are over us, we receive the reward God gives through their position. If you honor people that are over you, you are going to receive what God will give you through their position. So if you don't honor them, you're not going to receive what God would give you through their position. And so it raises the question, what are we missing? What are we missing? What are you missing? Well, you say, I'm not missing anything. You're missing a reward. You're missing something you would have received. You don't realize it because you never had it. It's not like something's been taken away from you. No, you just haven't received something that God wants to give you because we aren't honoring. And if we will honor people in our lives, we are positioning ourselves to receive great blessing back and receive everything that God intended for us to receive through that. I pray, oh God, would you sear that truth into our hearts? Because we need to understand what honor is, why we honor, and what the benefit of honor is coming back into our life. So let's just look at four categories, four structures. If we're supposed to honor those that have authority over us, there's four structures of authority that's taught in the Scripture. And here's your first fill-in. Number one, government. Government. Now let's turn to the Scripture and see what it says to us about government. In Romans chapter 13. Now listen to these words. Let every soul. How many souls? Every, not just some. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. So not only will you miss the blessing that comes from not honoring, but because you dishonor, now there's a judgment that's coming back upon us. Verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister. Whose minister? God's minister. To you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. In other words, they have a weapon to use against us because of their position. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath or the danger of this judgment, but also for conscience sake. Conscience sake because God is telling us. Just in your own conscience, he's telling you to do this. Now let's go on. Verse 6. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very things. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor, notice the phraseology here, honor to whom honor. So this is a way we show honor to those that are in government over us. We respect them, we realize they're ministers of God, and we should do what they are saying, whether it be taxes, customs, and so forth. But you'd say, well, yeah, but that means only good government. Well, the hearers, when this was first written, this letter was written to the Romans, who were they paying taxes to? Caesar. Was Caesar a good guy? Not always. The taxes. Were they always justified? Apparently not. Especially when it got down to the provinces and they were exploiting the people. But it still says to do it. Now this is amazing to us. This is something we have to see. The Bible says it doesn't matter how they got into positions of authority. All authority is from me. It all stems from God. See, we have a problem. Our problem is we are raised in a democratic society. And so, and I'm glad we do. It's been his blessings that we get to elect our leaders. But we... Am I back? Yes, I am. We need to know those new batteries are not good. All right, so we're going to respect authority of government. And what's the blessing that comes back to us? You will receive their favor. You will receive the favor of those that are in government if you from your heart will honor them. We were talking about democracy and so forth. We need to realize that God is a theocracy. God's kingdom is a theocracy. And so no matter what position of authority, God says, I see, I recognize authority. Authority stems from me. That person's in a position of authority. And so you should honor that person. Now also, if you are in authority, God says, I will judge you by being in authority. And there is a higher judgment that comes upon you because you are in position. So don't quickly want to be in a position of authority because greater judgment comes upon you. And so there's a balance in all these things. As we honor and respect authority over us, God steps in and rebukes and disciplines those in authority if we respect the authority. Now, here's the second one. The first is government. That's the first structure of authority. The second one is the church. The church is a structure of authority that we are to recognize. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. There's many places, but let me just read this one in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 12 and 13. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly. That is the definition of honor. To esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. So this is telling us anyone that's in position of authority in the church, whether it be a pastor, elders, ministry leaders, that there is an anointing upon them, that you need to recognize that anointing upon them. And he says to do this so that you will have peace. You know, many times we don't have peace among ourselves because we're criticizing and we're complaining. And there's turmoil stirring in a congregation. There's dissension. There's bitterness. And people leave because someone's talked and they've said this. If we're going to have peace, the Bible says very clearly, you need to esteem those that are over you in the Lord. Now, this is not something I'm completely comfortable in teaching because it seems to be self-serving in many ways. And yet it is the Word of God to us, and we can't ignore it. We can't just say, well, we're not going to talk about that area because it is so much. The Bible hates someone that sows. The Bible says God hates, and it's an abomination, someone who sows discord among the brethren. Those that are a whisperer separates chief friends. It tells someone that's divisive, you warn them once. Tells leaders in the church, you warn them once if they are divisive. And if they continue in it, then they should be put out of the church. That's how dangerous division and dissension is in the church. So God says we need to honor our leaders in the church. Do we want to have peace? Do we want to see God's blessing upon our church? We think, well, that all depends on the leaders and what they do. Well, this portion of Scripture seems to tell us it's more to do with the people in the church and the honor that they have for the leaders. You know, many things work. Some programs work better than others. Some leaders might bring programs into the church that is not as good as other programs that they could have brought in. But I've found this over the years. Anything will work if the people work it. Anything works if the people have a heart to do it. Sure, leaders don't always make the best decisions, but if the people are responsive and they can appeal, they can speak what they feel, you know, would we be better to do this? There's nothing wrong with appeal and speaking to leaders. The Bible tells us we should appeal to our leaders. But it's something different to dishonor and disrespect and speak critically about someone in a position of authority. The Bible warns against this. You're going to bring judgment on yourself. It's going to bring division in the church. We all need to work towards the good. And I have found any system works if the people work it, as I say. And many times something that is better than something else won't work because the people are still upset about it. Something that's less effective in itself works because the people work it. And they're agreed and they're happy and they're working and God blesses it because it's not just the system. It's God's blessing on what the church is doing. And blessing comes as a result of honor. These are powerful principles for us to understand. And the blessing says here, you will receive the full benefit of their ministry. God wants you to receive something from the people in the church. And you will receive their blessing, the benefit of their ministry, if you respect it and you honor. See, many times we think, I'm going to leave that church because I'm not getting anything out of it. Could it be you're getting nothing out of it because you're not honoring the leader? And because you're not honoring the leader, you're not receiving the blessing that would come through that person to your life. And so you're absolutely right. You're getting nothing out of it. But maybe someone sitting beside you on the pew is honoring the leaders, and they get much out of it. And their life is blessed, and their family is blessed, and things are going well for them. Not because of the leader, but because of the honor in their heart, and God's allowing that person to receive. So be very, very careful when you make a statement, I'm not fed at that church. Ask yourself, am I not being fed because I have a dishonoring heart and spirit towards the leadership? It's something we need to consider, and it's biblical teaching that I'm sharing with us today. Let's go on to the third structure of authority in the Bible, and that's the family. The family. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2, or verse 1, we could start there. It says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So this is telling us if we would honor our parents, we're going to get a blessing back. And here's the blessing that comes from the family. It's written on your notes there. Things will go well with you and you'll live long. Things will go well with you and you will live long. It's a commandment. It made the top 10. It made the top 5, if you want to put it in that order. Honor. See, we have lost honor. We've lost the principle of honor. We don't honor parents like they were honored in days before. We don't honor them. Teenagers seem to be, I can be flippant, I can be careless, I can be irreverent in how I speak to my parents. The tone of their voice, the rolling of the eyes, the disgusted look. All of these things, the complaining, the raising of your voice, the disrespect to their wishes. They've asked you to do something, but you don't respect, you're not honoring that you're asked to do that. I'll do it when I get around to it. I don't have to do it right now, but honor would say, no, you need to do that right now. My parents asked me to do this. I honor them. I may not agree with it. I may not like it. But I honor them, so I'm going to act on it. And there's a tremendous blessing comes back. Things will go well for you. Now, this extends beyond children. Husbands are to honor their wives by, the Bible says, loving them. Ephesians 5. Wives are to honor their husbands by respecting them and reverencing them. We don't want to talk about these things. We just sort of say there's no honor. We don't see our egalitarian aspect. You know, husbands and wives are completely the same. Now, obviously, that is true in many respects. But the Bible still says that the husband is the head of the home. I mean, we could cut the verse out. That doesn't mean that. We can argue and argue. What does it mean to be the head of the home? And I tell you, husbands have abused that. I'm not denying any of that. But the thing is, it's still there as a principle. And many times things are not going well in the home. Why is it not going in the home? Is there a loss of respect for the headship in the home? We don't honor that headship. The Bible says things are not going to go well for you. So I can ask you, are things going well in your family? Are things going well in your marriage? No, it's not. And I can tell you why it's not. Because he or she is not acting right. They're dishonoring me. And we point to the other person. Rather than saying, where's my attitude in this? Where's my heart in this? And if we would honor, come back to a place of honor, even when the other person isn't acting honorably, you're going to receive a blessing and things will start to go well for you. And you'll have a long and healthy marriage. But when you don't have that attitude, you're going to have short marriages and it's not going to be a very happy time together. I mean, these are teachings from the Word of God that we can't just easily dismiss. We keep wanting our marriages to be healthy and strong and loving, and yet we miss the key of how it happens. It's honor. Honor. So God, help us to understand this, see it, embrace it. Ask the Lord to help you. It's not always going to be good. You know, the Bible even commends Sarah and says her husband, because he was afraid when he went into this other land that the ruler of that land was going to kill him because his wife was very beautiful. And he's going to kill me and take my wife. So when he went into that land, you can read it in the Bible, Abraham says, because she was his half-sister, he says, we're going to tell everybody she's my half-sister, not my wife. So he goes into the land. That's what he says. And the leader then takes Sarah, because she's not Abraham's wife, takes her into his harem. You can read the story in the Bible. He was then going to call Sarah in some night to come to him. But the Lord spoke to him in a dream and said, don't take her to yourself, because that's another man's wife. So the leader comes back to Abraham and says, why didn't you tell me this? I, out of the integrity of my heart, took her thinking she was just your sister. Why didn't you tell me she was your husband or she was your wife? So it got straightened out. Notice how God protected Sarah. But, you know, now in the context of all that, here's what the Bible says, commended Sarah. But she still called Abraham Lord. I mean, she still respected his position. She still respected his place, even though he made a decision that was very dishonoring to her and put her in jeopardy. And yet, the Bible commends her in the New Testament to us to say, now this is the spirit and the attitude that you should have. Not that we justify any wrongdoing, but we're just talking about the principle of honor here. The principle of honor is not negated because the other person acts dishonorably. We're going to see this in a moment. Let's go to the third one. 4. the social structures. The Lord recognizes this. And we see in 1 Timothy chapter 6, notice what it says here. Let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. Now, this opens up a whole area that I can't go into it in its great depth, but here's what it's telling slaves. You need to recognize that you are under a yoke. Maybe they went into poverty and they were sold because of their debt. I don't know, but there's lots of background to this. But whatever, they were under the yoke to the master. And here's what the scripture says. You need to serve them as unto the Lord. And even if they're believers, you have a believing master, don't just think, oh, they're a believing master, then they should free me. He said, no, you should actually be more respectful because the one that's being benefited by your service is a believer. Now, these are hard things to talk about. And I can't go into it all, but this is written in Scripture for us, and there are balancing principles that come into this, obviously. It was the Christian church and Christians that led the drive against slavery. And slavery was an abomination. And so it's not justifying slavery in any way. But what I want us to see here, how the principle of honor even overarches that. It's an amazing thing. And either our hearts are renewed to take the word of God and say, I'm going to see how powerful this principle of honor is. And so I'm going to receive it. Now, how does that translate to us today? I mean, if we're talking about slaves and masters, what about just a boss at work? That's a social structure. You've engaged yourself with a company. You are under the yoke, as it were. And the Bible says you respect that boss. It can be teachers at school. Are you respecting and honoring your teachers, even though they might be acting in an ungodly way? Are you respecting them? Coaches, on and on it can go in any social structure. The Bible tells us that we're to honor that structure. And if we do, you will receive their respect and promotion. The respect and the promotion of that person back to you. 1 Peter 2:18 says that you shouldn't do this only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. You have a harsh teacher, so I'm going to criticize. They treated me wrong. You got a boss mistreating you, didn't do what's right. It's interesting. The Bible says don't just do it to the good and the gentle, but even to those that are harsh, you are to respect and honor. These are powerful principles. Here's your next fill-in. All authority is from God, but not all authority is godly. And that's just a given. But God still sees the authority from him. Jeremiah 43:10, God tells calls Nebuchadnezzar my servant, and that he set up his throne. God says, he's my servant, and I set up his throne. He was a despot. He did despicable things. And yet God said, I recognize the authority that's on him. And God judged Nebuchadnezzar. He actually, for 7 years, he was like an animal because he dishonored God. And God judged him as a result. You can read it in the scripture. But God judged him. Saul, who pursued David in an ungodly way and tried to kill him. And yet the Bible says in 1 Samuel 15 that God had set Saul up to be king. So these are things we can't easily dismiss, and it's showing us the power of honor. All right, here's your next fill-ins. Three reasons to honor leaders who act dishonorably. To honor leaders who act dishonorably. Here's number one. It puts the matter in the hands of God. It puts the matter in the hands of God. Here's what it says in the scripture. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. But for this is commendable if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. And then it goes on. For to this you are, verse 20. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving us an example, that you should follow in his steps. We talk about following in his steps, following in the steps of Jesus. What would Jesus do? Follow in his steps. The biblical application of this is that he was abused, he was wronged, and he didn't revile back. And we should follow in his steps. He's our example. That's what it says in the very next verse. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return, when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judged righteously. Now, here's the key. You submit it to God who judged righteously. Do you have faith in God? When authority over us is wronging us, we are still to honor the authority, respect it, but God brings the disposition of it. You lay it into the hands of God. And it says this is what happened to Jesus. He was abused, he suffered, but he laid it in the hands of the one that would judge righteously, and he went to the cross, he died for the sins of the world, took all the suffering, and we rejoice in it. We say, wow, Good Friday, what God did for us on Good Friday. See, we don't know what our suffering might be reason for, why we're going through what we're going through, but we have to commit it to the hands of God and have faith. God's bigger than I am. He can change things. This is a remarkable principle, folks. I tell you, it cuts across our natural thinking. It stirs in my heart as I'm teaching this to realize how far I come short of this. But this is something we need to really lay hold of. Here's the second reason you should honor leaders who act as honorable. You receive a blessing. You receive a blessing. 1 Peter 3:9, we used to close every service with this. Now finally, all of you, be of one mind. Have compassion on one another. Love as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, return blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you might inherit a blessing of God. Wow. He says this is what you're called to. You're called to this, that when someone reviles, you don't speak back with a reviler. If someone does something evil to you, don't treat them back with evil. Have compassion, love, and just see if you do this, if God doesn't put a blessing back into your life. Over and over, we find it in the scripture. Here's number three. Godly character is built in you. Godly character is built in you. 1 Peter 4:1, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Somehow our suffering perfects us, it builds Christ's character in us. It tells us in Romans 5 that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. When you go through a tough time, and you do it as unto the Lord, and you honor the people around you, you can't go wrong. You are releasing a blessing into your life that you will not receive in any other way. So when you're mistreated and you continue to be a good worker, student, civilian, church member, just know that this is honor at its highest expression. And if you will honor in this situation, you're just setting yourself up for promotion and a blessing. Just look at the Bible. Everyone that was injured by authority, everyone that was hurt, and they submitted to God, God promoted them, and he blessed them at the end of it. And he says, this is our example. This is how we should be. Now, do we always obey authority? And the answer is no. We don't always obey authority. There's a difference between obedience and submission. Here's your fill-in. Submission is an attitude. Obedience is an actions. Submission is an attitude of your heart. Obedience is in your actions. And here's your next fill-in. We are to have unconditional submission to authority, but not unconditional obedience. But even when we have to obey, and you disobey when they tell you to do something contrary to God's will, and they're asking you to sin or do something contrary to God's will or your conscience, you need to respectfully disobey. We find this over and over in the Scripture where they disobeyed. The three Hebrew children, when told to bow down when the music played before the idol, they refused to bow down. And they spoke to the king respectfully and said, "We can't obey this. We serve God. He's able to deliver us. We're not sure he will deliver us, but we'll tell you this, we will not bow down." They did not bow down. They were cast into the furnace. They came through the furnace and came out without any harm to them, without even the smell of smoke. And the decree went forth that everyone should honor the God of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Because they honored God by honoring the authority, but they respectfully disobeyed. The early church were told to preach no more in the name of Jesus. And the disciples said, "You know, we have to disobey. We have to obey God rather than man." You read it in the context of the verses. They spoke respectfully to the authorities, but they said, "We cannot obey you." There are places we have to take a stand, disobey, but we never dishonor those that are in authority over us. One of the most remarkable writings is when Paul was arrested and brought up before a tribunal. And they asked him if he had kept the law. He said, "I've kept the law with good conscience to this day." Someone was standing beside him and he said, "Smite that man." And the person hit Paul and knocked him down. And Paul got up and he said, "You whited sepulcher." Another way said, "You whitewashed wall." He looked on the outside. He said, "You tell me to be smitten contrary to the law?" Like, Paul knew the law. This was not in accordance to the law that you would hit a person because of an answer they gave. And Paul said, "You can't do that." Someone standing beside Paul said, "Do you know he's the high priest?" And you know what Paul did? He apologized. He said, "I'm sorry, I didn't know that was the high priest." The high priest was still wrong, still ungodly, still acted in a dishonorable way. Paul reacted out of his own feeling, but as soon as he recognized he was a person in authority, he apologized because he was not respectful to the office. All of this is in the Scripture to teach us things. We disobey if we're asked to sin or disobey God. All right, here's your next feeling. David's honoring of Saul is an example to us today. David's honoring of Saul is an example for us today, and we're going to close here. But this story of Saul and David is remarkable if you read this in 1 Samuel. David has been nothing but honoring to Saul. But Saul is jealous of David. He's afraid David's going to take his throne. And he throws the javelin at David. David escapes. He has to hide. Saul pursues him. It says in the Scripture he had 3,000 men searching for David and his men. David's out running, trying to, you know, he's running for his life. He goes to En Gedi. If you've ever go to Jerusalem, be sure to go to En Gedi. It's quite a remarkable place of hills and caves and twists and turns. You could easily get lost. You know, you think about this, how could they get lost? But when you go there, you realize how easily this could be. And so we went up and walked through some of these caves. But it says in the story, and I'll just tell you what it is, David and his men are in the recesses of the cave, of one of these caves. Saul is pursuing him, and just the way it is, Saul had to relieve himself. So Saul goes into the cave to relieve himself. He takes off his garment, and he's doing his thing. David and his men are in the recesses, and they see what's happening. David's men says, we can kill him right now. And quoted to David, the prophecy over you is that the Lord would deliver you, your enemies into your hand. God has delivered Saul into your hand today. Let's kill him. David rebuked his man and said, no way, that is God's anointed. But he went and took his sword and he cut off the corner of the garment that Saul had laid aside in the cave. Saul finishes, he goes out with his men, they go on their way. David comes out of the tent with his men and says, Saul, do you not see I could have killed you? Why are you believing those that think I'm trying to take your life? I could have taken your life. I didn't. Look, I have the corner of your robe. And Saul looks down and sees that the corner of his robe is cut off. So Saul says, you know what? I was wrong. And he leaves David at peace. Now you could say, there's the answer. David honored Saul, and now he's at peace. But you just read a chapter or two later, and it says Saul pursues David again. And he's pursuing him, and he's trying to kill him. And so what's that teaching us? David still honors Saul through it all. And you can read the story where, again, Saul's delivered into his hand, and he could have killed Saul. And Abishai, who was beside him, says, let me kill him. He's just continual. We gave him grace, but now he's still doing it. Obviously, God wants you to kill him. He's given you another opportunity. David that sees the moment, you can be king. David says, stop talking that way. I will not touch God's anointed. He honors that position so highly. You can read the story through until finally Saul is judged by the Lord himself. Saul is killed in battle with his son Jonathan. A man comes across Saul who had fallen on his own sword to kill himself, but he didn't do it well. He's laying on the ground and he's suffering, and this young man comes by and he says, listen, I'm dying, I'm just suffering, kill me. So the man kills Saul and takes his throne. Takes the throne to David and says, here is the throne, the crown, David, of Saul. You're to be our king. David has the young man killed. He said, how dare you raise your sword against the Lord's anointed? I just want you to show you the honor that David had for Saul. Even though Saul is not acting right, trying to kill David, and when he found that Saul was killed, they tore their clothes. They mourned. And David actually sang a song, wrote a song in commemoration of Saul and what he did. I tell you, this is just remarkable. If you read through that story, but God blessed David. David became the greatest king of Israel. David was a man after God's own heart. Even though David himself was sinful, but there was something in David to honor Saul that brought a blessing on David. And so we'll leave it there. We talked about those that are over us. There's still two more fill-ins here on how to honor those beside us and those under us, but we'll pick that up next week. I wonder if you'd stand with me this morning. Are you receiving this truth this morning? Are you receiving this truth? This truth alone can change your marriage, change your situation at work. It can transform your life if we learn the principle of honor and we get out of our natural thinking, only honoring those people who make us feel special. But we begin to honor all people, everyone around me. I'm going to esteem, as the Bible says, others better than myself. I'm going to have a different attitude. I still speak my peace. I'll still give my part. But you know what? I'm going to honor those people around me. I'm going to speak respect. I'm not going to criticize. I'm not going to tear down. And just see the blessing that returns and flows into your life. So if you're feeling in your heart that this is a word you want to receive this morning, would you just raise your hand and hold it up as I pray this afternoon. Father, we lift our hands to surrender our own rights, to surrender our own natural way of thinking and doing things. We want to align ourselves with your word. We want to have the principle of honor in our life as never before. We want you to change our hearts so that we understand that people are special in your eyes. Lord, we want to speak respectfully, act respectfully, and be able to respond when we're hurt in different ways than what we have in the past. We want to put it in your hands. We want to receive the blessing. We want to obey your word. And so, Lord, transform us today from the inside out. Maybe we'll be a different people as a result, Lord, of what we've heard today. May this word get into us and transform us and make us new. I pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, it's been a great Sunday. Mull over these things. I encourage you, when you go out, go by the booth, buy the book, Honor's Reward. When I was preparing for this series, I came across this book and I read it, and it had much inspiration to me. A lot of the material I'm sharing was in that book. So I'd encourage you, it'd be the best $20 you ever spent. Buy that book, and that's just recovering our cost. We went and purchased them in bulk so that we could pass it on to you. So pick up that book, read it, digest it, let the Holy Spirit do a work in you. If you would like prayer, remain behind. We'd love to pray with you. Otherwise, go in the name of the Lord. Be blessed today. Amen.